the more I preach, the more I realize that that illustrations are a good thing, I think, and they're used all the way through the Scripture. We don't want to make them the whole message for sure, but we're here to hear the Word of God. But we were all at work one day, and every morning the maintenance department, mechanical maintenance department, Randall will understand some of this, and some of you others will too. We all have a morning meeting, and the orders are all given out. Anyway, our supervisor, one of the lead guys or whatever, but chief, he walks in, he says, and they were doing some hiring at that time, and he said, you know, said, we got a fella coming that's, and of course there's 23 or 4 men in there that have been working in a power plant all their life, and knew pretty much all about turbines and pumps and piping and you name it. We pretty much put our hands on compressors and compression in air and blowing coal and you name it, but they all had a variety of knowledge. And he said, we got one coming that's going to make you all look bad. And I thought, man alive, what a, you know, and I was sitting there and I said, man, he must be Superman. And the point of my message this morning is it's about wisdom and understanding. And this fellow turned out, the definition for wisdom in our dictionary is the quality of having experience and knowledge and good judgment. And the word understanding just means comprehension, to comprehend something. I think a problem with a lot of God's people, and I'll get to the rest of the story with the man, is that we have head knowledge of the Word of God. We have some wisdom about what we say we believe. And this fella, anyway, turned out this fella was a teacher at a college, and he had books on mechanical maintenance, and he taught it and knew those books from the front page to the last page. And he was very intelligent on what was in his book. But when he came to the power plant, it was a whole different story, because he really couldn't do much of anything when he put his hands on it. So in the same respect, we come to the house of God, and sometimes we just hear. And we do have some wisdom. We do have a knowledge. In Job 28, this will be our text this morning. I hope I can help you all with some of this, because I have a problem with it sometime too. And some of these things were brought out to me a while back, so I've been working on this sermon for a while. Job 28 says, and unto the man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. But listen to the last part real careful. And to depart from evil is understanding. You know, we come here and we hear our pastor or a preacher get up and preach the Word of God, and, oh, yeah, that's right, that's good, walk out of the church, and then we break exactly, we don't do exactly what our pastor has just preached to us. We've got a head knowledge of it because he just gave it to us. We have some wisdom, but we don't understand the greatness of our, it's sin to disobey the Word of God, is simply what I'm saying. If we have a knowledge of what we're supposed to do, that's right in the sight of a sovereign God. I told him the other day down there at Georgia about a centipede. I watched one of them. And if you think about how holy and powerful God is, just watch that centipede. How every part of his body moves in unison, and every one of his feet are able to move and step and move him across the ground just like any other creature that God had created. That's the God that we're talking about. That's the God that we ought to fear when we hear wisdom taught to us, but yet we act like we don't understand it. And that's what I want to preach about this morning. I found a verse in Exodus. We won't turn there for the sake of time, but it was the making of Aaron's garment. There's two different kinds of wisdom. There's a natural kind of wisdom that we're brought up around and that we learn. But there's a wisdom of God that God gives those that know him. And it is fear, a sense of fear, that God is able to completely change our lives in a twinkle of an eye. and make it seem like it's a horrible life that we're living, but yet his purpose is there. Think about what I'm saying. And in Job also, I want to bring out a couple more verses if I can find them here. I think it was verse... Yes, it says in verse 12, it says, but where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? It's the house of God. This is not a sermon about not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together. This is a personal sermon that when we know and hear a man of God, Brother Bennett is a man of God, and if he's not, we ought to have done got rid of him. True. Get up here and play games. This fella at work, he couldn't align a motor. He was supposed to be mechanically sound. He couldn't. We as God's people, and I'm ashamed sometimes because I can't think like I used to. I tell everybody when I had the stroke, and John, you back me up here, my fouls are a little bit off. And I tried, it irritates me that my 84-year-old pastor remembers scripture like it's nothing. And Tim does a good job remembering things too. I can't do that like they can. But the whole point of what I'm saying is this fella bragged himself up even that he could do anything. And he was a smart college teacher and he could do any mechanical thing. And of course, our supervisor ignorantly told all the crew, which he shouldn't have, because they made the man look bad. Because he really didn't know what he was doing. He didn't know how to line a motor, tear a pump apart. A lot of that pipe fitting, I mean, that's mechanical too. He didn't know any of those kind of things. But we're God's people, and we are supposed to know the Word of God because this man of God is preaching to us. And it's not his Word. It's God's. I stand before you this morning and hope and pray that when I get done with this message that you will understand a little better who you are as a child of God. That's who we work for in one sense. We'll dedicate more to a place of work than we will to the Lord, and He is our boss. He is the one that gives us understanding and ability, spiritually speaking. He is the one that gives us the grace through Christ to be able to bow down and humble ourselves and pray and ask God to help all of us with all this sniffling and sickness and cancers and diseases and troubles. I told Sunday school this morning, if you wasn't here, today's my anniversary for the night that I was told I was going to die three times. And I use this today because God is in charge. And when I went to, I was so pleased at the feeling I had that night when I said, Lord, I don't know what else to do, but I'm in your hands. But that was wisdom that God gave me. That was understanding that God gave me. You're going to die, you're going to die. You've been told that two or three times. You're going to start to believe it. But God said he had me, and I knew that. That the feeling I had that night was, it's okay. Whether you wake up or not, it's okay. I'll go back to Exodus. I really thought this was fascinating. And again, don't turn there for the sake of time. In Exodus, when Aaron and the Levites were chosen to take care of the tabernacle of God, God's had people chosen to make the garments of Aaron and his sons. And this is what he said. He told them, I'll give you wisdom. I'll give you knowledge. And I want it just like I want it. And listen, I want to tell you something. Coming to church and praying and reading your Bible and knowing the Word of God, you say, well, I'm not a scholar. Well, I'm not either. But we're still God's people, and we're to understand and know what God's Word says. That's wisdom. And it's better because maybe we won't get a whooping from God or chastising from God if we live and understand the Word of God. But in Exodus, it was very important that these people got the instructions of God just like He wanted them. you do it just like I tell you. But he helped them and gave them wisdom and understanding there in Exodus 28, 1 through 3, if you want to back me up. I heard an old preacher say that even in the preaching realm of preachers, there are those that have preferences and there are those who have convictions. It seems in our day and time, people just have preferences to what they want to do, what they want to understand and live. But then the other stuff, they can just push it aside. But it's all the Word of God. It's not for our to make a difference, whether it's a preference or a conviction. We were talking about how men will preach one thing all their life, but then when it happens to them, they'll change that quick. So they had a preference. They really didn't believe full-heartedly that God was telling them these things, or they would have followed God. Amen? I think that's a true statement to make for all of us. The fear, it says in Psalms 11, 10, you may not be able to keep up with me, and that's okay. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all they that do His commandments. Well, Brother Mark, you're trying to tell me what I believe and what I don't believe. I'm telling you, if you believe it, live it. If you understand it, you will live it. If we live the life we've been called to live, that's our conviction. We've been convicted by God to do what He tells us to do. How important is the house of God? I get really frustrated at myself even sometimes because I come to church with a half attitude. We ought to have a whole attitude to come here and worship God in truth and spirit. We ought to come here to sing with all that we have. That's what that scripture there was in Psalms 138 this morning. Sing, praise Him. Well, I can't sing too good. God don't care how good you sing. He cares that you sing with a true heart. You go to a church who's not been taught these things, it's a sad sight. They have the knowledge and the wisdom, but they sure don't have the understanding of what the teachers teach about praising and singing to God in our churches. Because we're God's people and we are in God's house this morning. We're all not perfect, but Christ is. That's what makes it possible that we're here today to sing and to pray and to hear this man up here that God has pulled out of a whole mess of a lot of other men to preach His Word. I think about Ezra and his will and his boldness and his desire. It says in Ezra 7:10, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Did you all prepare your heart this morning before you come to the house of God to receive and to be able to understand the Word of God? It goes on to say, and to do it. That's the understanding. To do it, to have faith, to serve the Lord and to love Him more, and to teach in Israel. His job was to go back and renew the Word of God in Jerusalem and the temple. That was his job. Our pastor's job and my job as a preacher is to preach you what God says. Tim, whether you like it or not, what the scripture says there. It's a touchy subject about homosexuality and all that kind of stuff today and what they're pushing on society. And what they're trying to do to our churches is shut us down because we believe God instead of the world. It's that simple. And we're to do the Word of God. If God's people are not doing His Word and they claim to have a wisdom and a knowledge of what they believe, then why aren't they serving Him? Why are they missing church? Or why are they making up excuses? Or I'm tired or my feet hurt. Listen, every part of my body hurts sometimes. But I don't just quit. If I want something to go eat, I go to the restaurant. If I need to go do something down in my little, what I call a man cave, I go down there and do it. I don't care how I feel, I do it. So I ought to be in the house of God, unless I'm in our day, they put the fear of COVID in all of us, sad to say, to scare us to death. And they did. They did it on purpose. You can say that. It's real. Believe me, I know. But that's wisdom, too, and understanding. What God do we serve? We say, well, we serve the great physician, do we? You have that knowledge that he's the great physician. Do you believe it? See, that really puts us on a level that is uncomfortable to us, because most of us have doubt in our hearts about the God that we serve and the understanding and wisdom that we have. Daniel said then Daniel 10:12 then said he unto me, the angel did, fear not, Daniel, for the first day that thou didst set thy heart. Listen to what Daniel did. He set his heart to understand. Do we do that? Every day I wake up and I say, Holy Jehovah God. That's what I've got to do in my prayers. I'll call him Holy Jehovah God. Because he's God. And he's the only thing that really matters in all my life and should, except when the flesh gets in the way. Isn't that something? I ain't perfect. I'm as messed up as y'all are. I fight and fight the flesh like Paul did and all the apostles and all the saints before us. He says, fear not, Daniel, from the first day that thou didst set thy heart, to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God. Tim brought up this morning in Sunday school about doing without. We need to chasten ourselves in the day we live. We're spoilt rotten. And it shows in our worship to God. And to chasten thyself before thy God. And the angel said, see, when we serve God and when we're obedient to God, when we understand the wisdom, the teaching, and the knowledge of God's Word, and we understand it, He comes for our words. There in Daniel 10:12, he'll finish quoting in God, and it says, before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. You don't think God had heard us in our life? Man, we're such a blessed people that God gave His Son for us. Everybody ain't here this morning, okay? The whole world's not here. The world don't want to be here. They're running from this place. The world's lost. And the Bible says they're lost. There's none good. They don't seek righteousness. We seek it like Daniel did. We're the beloved. We're the greatly beloved of God. I didn't mean to. Our pastor is preaching in Daniel tonight. And he's going to come across this scripture. I'm not going to go any further in Daniel. You know, Paul told the young Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15. I didn't want to go to the New Testament too quick because I am. He said, study to show thyself approved. Not just a, listen, not just a devotion. They're about that long. A lot of times people try to find the shortest one so that's all they do. Well, that's not giving God your all. That's the God of Word, the Word of God. Paul told Timothy, study to show thyself approved. You're saying I need to be a Bible scholar? Yes. I used to say no. I used to think, well, you know, that's up to the preacher to be the Bible scholar. But listen, we all ought to know who we serve. And this is all we've got. It's just one book out of a blue million books that I've got in my library. I got over 1,000 books in my library. And they scare me to death. So I just usually pick this one up. James Dargavel with his big 6-foot-tall, fierce-looking self, flat hair, top, big ears, long nose. Said, preach the word, brother. And that's what he told me. That was his advice to me. Stay in the book. Quit going out seeking help from everywhere else when we serve the God of the universe that created every living thing that's ever lived. Think about that. We go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 9. and 23. I wanted to put 23 up there with my text, but I didn't. I did, but I just didn't. The Lord didn't want me to say it then, but now he wants me to say it. Jeremiah 9:23 says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom." You think you're smart, and you did it. That's kind of what this fellow did at the place of my employment. He really thought he was something, on top of them beefing him up and making him look like he was the greatest maintenance man in the history of maintenance. The Lord said, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. And let not the rich man glory in his riches." Boy. Jeremiah 9:24. "But let him that glorieth in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me." Amen. Why are we here this morning? Don't be here because you're trying to please Brother Bennett, or me, or the deacons, or mom and dad, or be here because you understand. You have the wisdom. Do you understand it? You have the knowledge of who God is. I just told you about him. "That I am the Lord which exerciseth love kindness." He don't have to be kind to even his own people, because we're sinners saved by God's grace. "That exercise love kindness," verse 24, Jeremiah 9:24, "judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight." You coming to church faithful, you praying faithful, you reading your Bible faithful, you thinking about the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ and the light of life that he's given you to show in this dark world. Think about that. You have some understanding. And you live it. What understanding we've been given. "For in these things I delight." Who to have delight in us more than our God and our Savior and our Lord? That he's happy with us. Because Jesus covered all the rest. God sees none of our ugliness. Isn't that awesome? Matthew chapter 13. What did Jesus have to say about understanding? And the spiritual understanding that it took to bring us from death unto life. See, the world, what separates this church from everybody else that's calling themselves churches is that we believe in simply Jesus saved. We believe that, right? That's wisdom and understanding. Jesus said in Matthew 13:15, "For this people's heart is waxed gross." You know what that means? It means fat. Fat of the world. Fat of all the garbage and filth that this world throws in us. And he goes on to say, "And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed." If you're here and you close your eyes to God, are you saved? I'm asking you directly. That's between you and God, but I'm asking you. But listen to what it says here. If they're closed, and if your ears don't hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand and their heart and should be converted. Listen to what Jesus said. And I should heal them. You trying to make me feel like I'm lost, Brother Mark? No, I'm not. That's between you and God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you that if you have the wisdom that God has given you and you've had the knowledge and understanding of the Word of God, you should hear God. through the man that he's placed here, through the man that's before you this morning. And I should heal them. That's why we believe that salvation is only of Christ. Nothing men do is worthy of salvation. There's nothing, not even the smallest of the smallest. And I know some measurements like at work that we use that are 10,000ths of a thousandth. Smaller than that, if you think that God owes you something. That's wisdom. And then Jesus says in Matthew 13:16, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Wow. The Son of God said that about you and me that know Him. Blessed are you that you can hear and see spiritually, because the world's dead. Because He healed them. He healed them and gave them wisdom and understanding. James says in James 3:13, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Well, I'm wise, Brother Mark. Well, you may be. I think Victor and his wife are wise and smart in computers. I'm not. I'm still rednecking it. I don't know most of the time what I'm doing. They have some wisdom there, but their wisdom in the Lord Jesus Christ and Almighty God is what matters. God will give us wisdom to take care of our needs, our physical needs in our life. He will. That's a free gift for us. But this wisdom that God is ours because of Jesus Christ, because the great physician healed us, we can see and hear. And then, who is a wise man endued, James 3:13, with knowledge among you? Let him show out a good conversation of his works. That's your responsibility, child of God. That's your responsibility. See, we believe in responsibility here. To come, to get up, to wake up, to take a bath, to clean yourself. I was messing with my brother the other day. I said, you cleaned up, did you? I said, you don't stink, do you? He was in my truck. He laughed. We come here to be cleaned of this world and to get the slop and the garbage that's thrown upon us from our TVs and our cell phones and our computers and all the garbage. This is God's house that we come here for wisdom and understanding that counts. Nothing else counts, because you ain't taking nothing out of this world. Nothing. Because where we're going, we don't need nothing. First John 5:20, and he says, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us, who? God's people, given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. That is the true God and eternal life. The religious world we live in preaches a false Christ. They do. They preach a cross and a Christ that you decide first. That's garbage. We sing a song, and I think we were going to sing it. He touched me. What are we going to sing that today? Or this morning or this tonight? Man, what we have to glory in, that Almighty God has touched us through His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Little children, the beloved Apostle John said, keep yourself from idols. There's some more wisdom and more responsibility that we have. If we're not in church, there's an idol before us. That's true. don't think, if you don't see the trouble in this world, children of God, and see the need of being here and loving the Lord God more than you've ever loved him, and our Savior and our Redeemer and our Physician, you need to question yourself. If you're lost here today, the only way you can be healed of your lost condition is that God give you wisdom and understanding that you're dead in trespasses and sins. And you need a Savior. And he can heal you. Cry out to him that he'll give you what you need to know him as a lost person. And he'll give you life eternal as he did me. I want to bring this out. I was working years ago at a place called Sellers Engineering, and they made boilers, and I was a welder and a fitter, and I made these great big welders that they, or boilers that they put in high schools for water heat and one thing or another. I know y'all, there's a joke that says truck drivers know everything. Well, I'm not a truck driver. But I've done a lot of different things. God's given me the grace and the ability to do some things like that. And anyway, I worked there, and I had a fellow that was helping me. He was cleaning my welds. The welder got a helper. He went around grinding welds, and we did welding all day long, different types. And but this fellow was as nice to me as anybody you could ever want to meet. And he found out I was a preacher, and we started talking having conversations, and before I knew it, he knew more about the Bible than I did. Kind of the same illustration I had in the beginning, but this fellow knew the Word of God like nobody's business. But he couldn't get away from the drugs and the alcohol, and I mean, he smoked a joint every day at break. He'd go out back and sneak and smoke a joint. I saw him do it. But he was smarter on the Word of God because he set so much time, and it's a shame when people like that know more than a child of God does. There was a fellow named Apollos. I want to bring this up in Acts 18:24. A certain Jew, and his name was Apollos. He was born at Alexandria, and he was an eloquent man. He's a lot smarter and probably a better speaker than I am, no doubt, because I'm not very eloquent. And he was mighty. It says he was mighty in the Scripture. And he came to Ephesus. And this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent, he was on fire for the Lord. God's people ought to be on fire for the Lord. And know the Scripture. Well, I know it, Brother Mark. Well, why don't you live it? Do you, Brother Mark, every day in, day out? No, I don't. But if I don't come here and get fed the Word of God, if I don't read and if I don't pray every single day, more than once, and read my Bible every single day, the world gets a hold of me as a child of God. That's the battle we got to deal with in the flesh. This fellow was fervent in the Spirit, and he spake and taught diligently. He didn't quit talking about the Lord because the Lord was his Lord. Knowing only the baptism of John. Guess what he didn't know about? I think I'm right on this. He didn't know about the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ yet. He was on fire and he knew the truth, and there wasn't nothing wrong because it says he only knowing the baptism of John. John was preaching repentance and baptism and so on and so forth. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogues, and there were some people that heard him. He didn't know everything he needed to know, okay? That's my point. And these faithful servants of God named Aquila and Priscilla had heard him, and they took him unto them and expounded him the way of God more perfectly. See, we never get it all, okay? But as God's people, we seek it like Daniel and like Ezra. We seek God. We still seek God. We're not there yet. But we will be. But I want to know him the best I can now, because they did. All the saints of old knew God better than we did. You see, yeah, but he verbally spoke to them. He verbally speaks to us. How, Brother Mark? Through that preacher? Through this book? Through this preacher? Through your studying? Through your praying? Wisdom and understanding. Philippians 1:12 said, I want you to see the wisdom here. Because I think we all suffer and we all endure things that we don't quite understand somewhere. But Paul told the saints of Philippi, he said, but I would, chapter 1, verse 12, and look at this, but I would that you understand. Paul is giving them some wisdom, and I want you to understand this is going to happen to you. Brethren, the things that which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. If our life was only meant to shine the light of Christ to one soul and that was it and God took us out of this world, praise be to God. Because that's what Paul's saying here. It's okay that I suffered because the gospel was furthered. It was taught through my suffering, and he goes on to say, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace. Poor Paul, look at what he went through. And that was okay with Paul. People say, oh, you're a Christian, you shouldn't ever have to suffer. That's a lie. And these TV preachers, these Joyce Myers, many more that get up and say, if your faith ain't strong enough, that's why all this bad stuff's happened. That's a lie. Saul is one of the most faithfulest preachers I know in the scriptures as far as a preacher. And he had his hand cut off, for goodness sake, for the sake of the gospel. And he was stoned that he might be left dead, but he got up and preached the gospel anyway. So these people are lying on TV. And I'm not afraid to say it. They're lying. And Paul said, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Manifested in my life. Don't you want Christ, the wisdom and the understanding that you have gotten through Jesus touching you and healing you and making you his own? Don't you want your life to manifest Christ? Even in suffering. Listen to what happens in verse 14, Philippians 1:14. And many of the brethren of the Lord waxing confident of my bonds, they grew stronger because of the suffering that Paul had went through. And my bonds are much more bold to speak the word without truth and without fear. I'm about done. I know I've kept y'all a little long, but I'm not apologizing. Let's turn to the book of James. I promise all of us can go through the drive-thru and get a chili dog at Dairy Queen or a cheeseburger. We're in the house of God. Amen. I'm hungry too. This is spiritual food. This is because we have been touched by the hand of God through His Son and made alive. Tim's teaching this morning, he was there at the last part of Hebrews, and I happened to look over in James. I said, hey, I should have put that in my message. So I did. James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God. That giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, because we understand who God is. Nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea and driven with the winds and tossed. God's people shouldn't be like that. We got a bank of wisdom and understanding that God is willing to give us. Y'all want to hear something really cool? I've prayed this prayer more than once. I pray God would give me his mind for remembering stuff and his mind of knowledge. That's what I think of my pastor. But I understand it's by God's grace that he is the man of God that he is. It's not anything of him. It's all of God. James 3:14, I'll finish with this. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but of earthly and sensual and devilish. But if you act like this, it's of the world, it ain't of God. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and evil work. But let the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits. I'm convicted just reading these scriptures. Without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is shown in peace of them that make peace. You know, when we understand the Word of God and live it, that's communing with God in the most complete way that we can. When we pray regular, when we read the Bible, when like Daniel and all the Old Testament saints that stood their ground. Quit letting the world have you. You're God's. Members of Grace Missionary Baptist Church, you belong to God. You've been shown the wisdom. You've been touched that your eyes can see and your ears can hear. You've been healed. We need to act like it. Amen.